Good evening, everybody. Monday night, Shaare Tzion. I know some people think it's 8:45 because we try and fool people to come early, but nobody comes early anyhow. So I'll tell you, on this day, it's really 9 o'clock. We start at 9 o'clock every Monday night. Next week, by the way, we'll be downstairs because there's a big affair here. And although it won't be in this room, we don't want the noise. We have reached we need sponsors. Rico always tells me to remind you, and Baruch Hashem, every week someone comes forward to dedicate a class, a tape, a CD. All you do is dial 718-375-1023, 375-1023 in Brookline, Ira Kodesh. We reached the part of the Torah, we're talking about Ge'ulah. Geula means salvation. It means when Hashem saves us. And the phenomenal thing about it lately is I get the heebie-jeebies when I read these parashiyot. I say, what's there to get heebie-jeebies about? We all know the 10 plagues. We know Moshe came to Paro. We know Paro didn't listen. Hashem hardened his heart. We know all this stuff. So what's heebie-jeebies? Well, you've noticed, I guess, those of you who come week in, week out, that the stress on Maase Avot Siman Labanim, the fact that what's written in the Parashiyot of the Torah and in the weekly portion is pertinent to today, because really we can relate what happened to them to what has happened to us and is going to happen to us. That heebie-jeebies means, since I know Mashiach's coming tomorrow, well, if not the next day, but very, very soon, and that's the final ge'ula, it's the final redemption, the final salvation. And a lot of what we have to know about how to get ready and how to behave and what we're supposed to do is written in the Torah, in Shemot, Da'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yitro, and these parashiyot that are right here. So like this is, in school they call it a primer. I always called it a primer, but I found out it's called a primer. The book of instructions. What are we supposed to do? Man gets on the stage, he tells us Mashiach's coming this week, and I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Am I doing what I'm supposed to help bring it along or not? Now, for 1900 and something years, we've been in this galut. And I don't think we're that well versed on what we're supposed to do to get out of it. So let's look first at the pasuk in the upcoming parasha Bo, Shemot Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says, Korban Pesach was brought the first year on the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that particular offering was the lord of the Egyptians, the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians, slaughtered by the Jews, sheep or a goat, it says. We took the sheep, slaughtered it. And then Hashem gives instructions through Moshe to the people as to how people are supposed to eat it. V'kacha tochelu oto. And this is how you're supposed to eat it. Now it does say how to cook it. It doesn't tell you what kind of spices and seasoning. It tells you matzot and merurim. I guess that's the condiments. It tells you it has to be roasted, not cooked. It has to be whole, no broken bones. But as far as us, we the people, what are we supposed to do once the chef serves up the korban? Motnechem, hagurim, narechem, baraglechem, makelchem, biyedchem. You have to have your belt on, which is like, for most people, the last thing they put on. First you put on the cloth, and then you put on the belt to hold it up. So that's an outer layer, we call it. Na'alechem v'raglechem, shoes on your feet. And your walking stick, very biblical image of a man with a big walking stick, in your hand. So you sit down to eat, all dressed for the road, ready to travel. V'achaltem oto v'chipazon, and you should eat it quickly. Pesach hu l'Hashem. This is the Korban Pesach of Hashem. Now, Rashi explains, what's this belt around our waist? Ready to travel. What is v'chipazon? In a hurry, in a rush. So, the Pasuk is telling us that Hashem is going to pass through Mitzrayim. He's going to pass through Mitzrayim that night. He's going to do the famous plague of the firstborn. He's going to kill every firstborn in Mitzrayim. And Hashem is going to be like a king. And these people are going to be stricken that night. And what are we doing? We're sitting inside, dressed in our best travel clothing, ready to roll. So that's the instructions. And when the big day came, Vayisa Amit Betzekel, the nation carried its dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, and how was it? Matzah. It was cakes of, or we call it little round things. I don't know what you, we don't call it cake, because cake is delicious and matzah is not. Kiloh hametz, it wasn't leavened, because they were pushed. The Pasuk says, Paro came and said, Kumu se'u, get up, get out of here. V'lo yachlu hitmameh, they weren't able to delay, and they didn't make any provisions. They didn't pack a box lunch. You know, it wasn't a chol hamoed trip. So now when it says that they didn't take along a picnic basket or a bundle of food, or like some people travel, you're going away and you're going to a hotel that doesn't have kosher, you're going somewhere, what they pack for food is like four suitcases and the clothing's only one. But they didn't pack that way. Magid Shivchan Yisrael, says Rashi, in the name of the Midrash, it tells the praise of the people of Israel. Shelo Amru, they didn't say, where are we going? There's a desert out there, man. I can't go to the desert. I have nothing to take with me. That's not what they said. Belo Seda. Ela, instead, He'eminu ve'alchu. They believed in God, and they left. Bingo. They're out of town. So that's the scene. That's the Yetziat Mitzrayim scene. Now this may be a Pesach class, but tonight it's only because that's the parasha. But that's the little scene of the redemption, which is coming soon. So now we want to study it a little bit and see what we can get out of it. Rabbeinu Yerucham is called. Mashkiach of one of the great Yerushalmi Yeshivot. Mir. He tells us about a man called Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, when he was going to die, Lo Alenu Bar Minan, we want to talk about those morbid things on a Monday night, but when he was going to die, he told them how he wanted to be prepared for burial. I'll be shen minit chivin chaviti, and put me in a special garment of white. I'll be shen it adae, v'avini chetre biyadi, sandali beragli. He wanted his walking shoes. He wanted his walking stick. V'avu yati alorcha, and bury me right next to the road. Because when techiyat ha-metim comes, when Hashem revives the dead, I don't want to waste time. I want to be ready. So I want to be dressed. I want to have my shoes on. I can imagine trying to tie a shoe. He doesn't want to do that. Put on his boots. He can't do it. It takes too long. It was all a sign of a believer saying, you have to be a Boy Scout. What's the Boy Scout slogan? Anybody know? Be prepared. Right? You know what it is? I think so. It's not in my notes, but I think that's what it is. That Boy Scouts are always prepared. This Rabbi Yirmiyahu want to be 100% ready for the arrival of Mashiach and the coming of Tehiyat HaMetin, the revival of the dead. So he said, dress me, put me next to the road, make sure I have my... I need everything. I need my cell phone, my beeper, my palm. I need everything with me. Can't leave without it. He probably had his Amex card with him, because he couldn't leave home without it. So he's got to have all this stuff. There was once a great sage of another generation. Every time he heard, you know, a lot of the houses, if you've been to a lot of the Yerushalmi houses especially, they have a stone wall around the courtyard and the house is inside. It's like behind the wall. Every time he heard noise outside the wall, he would come running, climb up the wall and look out to see if Mashiach came. Hear the tumult, you know, hey, must be Mashiach. What could all that noise be? So it turns out, Rabbeinu Yerucham tells us, that one of the basic principles of Geula, of salvation, is to realize that it won't take long. And when it comes, it's going to be like that. You know what we say in Alein L'Shabeach? A lot of people say Alein L'Shabeach every day. Some of them say it in the car, some of them say it in the hallway. Very few people say it in the shul. But on the way out of shul, people say Alein L'Shabeach. It says, Al ken nikevelach Hashem Elokeinu. So we will hope. We will wait for you, kaveh, we will hope for you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, lir'ot mehera b'tiferet uzach, to see speedily the glory of your power. Because the Ge'ulah is going to be a powerful moment, but it's going to be like that. Now, sometimes I try to describe this to people. You know, we can't picture it. If you go to Eretz Yisrael and you talk to people, I had two people in my house last week, right before the class. They were, their families are victims of terror. Between the two of them, they lost 8 people. Wife, children, it's horrible stories. And I say, you know, if you go there now and you listen to the politicians and you see what's going on, and we go a couple of weeks without a bomb and we start to fall asleep a little bit, and then something like yesterday happens and we all get upset all over again. How do people live like that? And I can't. And everybody has a long face today because we're back. We're here. We're in America. Could you imagine the people there? And then when they try and have a political solution, and you talk, who are you talking to? There's nobody to talk to. And it gets very frustrating. And there's like no answer. And then guy gets up on the Bimahi on a Monday, and I say, Geulah's around the corner. Well, how's it going to happen? You can't imagine it, can you? Come on, be honest. Can you imagine Mashiach tomorrow? You go to sleep tonight, you wake up in the morning, everything's fine. In this rotten world, the way it's running. Yeah, I got one dreamer over here in the corner, but otherwise everybody else is nodding no. How could it happen? Well, I always describe it this way. In the 30s and 40s of the last century, according to the account, Yimach Shemam Zichram, the Nazis, put the Jewish people through a genocide that was hard to imagine. Picture for yourself, 1944, maybe even winter of 1945. And there's a person who spent 2 or 3 years in a concentration camp like Auschwitz. And the person's bones are practically visible through the skin of the emaciated body. And there's no strength left. And the hair is falling out, the teeth are black. And you know those hollow eyes that you see in the Holocaust pictures. And the person gets up and it's cold out. And the dogs are barking. And the animals holding the leashes of the dogs are barking. They're pointing guns and telling people, go here, go there, line up, don't line up. And this person who's been there for several years has no more hope, has no more strength. He's probably seen things nobody should see. And that person's about to just give up and say, I'm not doing anything, why don't you just kill me? And really, honestly, doesn't care. Can you picture that person? That person has no hope. And imagine that person when they hear some noise at the gate of the camp. And as the Nazi is about to accommodate them and kill them because they challenged him, why don't you just kill me? A tank and a jeep and some foot soldiers crash through the gate with an American flag, and the Nazi drops his gun and throws his arms up, and the person says, comes over and says, we're here to save you. We're going to take you out of here. 1 second before, there was no hope. The person was gone physically and spiritually. No hope. And crashed through the gate. And the person says, we're going to take you out of here. I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you back to health. How long was it? Like that. So whatever the matzav is, whatever the situation is in the world, we have to understand when Hashem saves, it's like that. No matter what the picture looks like, it's like that. Yeshuat Hashem kehedef ayin. Now how are we supposed to act? Well, picture a person who going on vacation, subject I'm not going to talk about this week, maybe next week, save it. Everybody's preparing for the famous January vacation, which you all know I can't wait to go. And they call the car service. So the night before, in the preparation, everybody puts the suitcases by the door and the little jackets. What are you going to wear to the airport? And your sneakers are ready and your travel clothes, this crinkly clothes that make noise when you walk in the airport. And everybody's ready in their comfies to go to the airport. And the car service comes. Car service, he comes, he's there. And now the car service arrives and you're ready to go. So, do you have a jacket? You have a coat? The guy's loading up the bags, but you still have a couple of minutes. You know why? The guy's not going to wait 2 hours. His business is to get to the airport and go get another fare. But to get a coat, one of the little kids has to go to the bathroom before he goes to the car. So he'll wait because it's the car service. But when you get to the airport and you're finally going to the gate, you are dressed and ready. Because the person at the gate is going to close that door to that jetway when they're supposed to close the door. And they don't care who's on and off. There's no, excuse me, Sally has to go. No. You get on the plane, honey. Or we're leaving without you. There's a difference between the car service and the plane or train. One waits, one doesn't. People have to understand that when Mashiach comes, it ain't a car service. It's the plane. It has a schedule. There's a moment. V'lo yamtinu afilu rega achat, says the Mashiach. They won't wait even a moment. And if you're far away and you're not prepared, You won't be on the train. Or you won't be on the plane. Says the Mashkiach, read his words. Hu shoda geula. That's the secret to redemption. Hazochimla, the ones who merit it. Daika ba'achana. By preparing, you'll be on board. If you're not ready, there's no waiting. Good, so now we have to figure out how to prepare. We're all willing to prepare. I don't want to miss the boat. I want to go. I want to be there. Eagle's wings or whatever, I want to see how it works. Don't you? Good, so how do we prepare? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem with a complaint. You sent me to save the people. I came, I said what you told me, let my people go and all that stuff. And Paro, instead of listening to me, made it worse. He took away the straw, he made them hit them, he gave them a quota, all kinds of stuff. Why did you make it bad for the people? Why did you send me? So Hashem tells them, you know something? Now you're going to see. You're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro and Mitzrayim. Rashi tells us, but Hashem told him something very, very important at that moment. Only you will see that, but you will not see the people going into Eretz Israel. You're going to see the downfall of the Egyptians, but you're not going to see the downfall of the 31 kings of Eretz Canaan. So all those are trivia questions and homework to do for the kids when they say, why did Moshe not go into Eretz Israel? Don't say because he hit the rock. Say because he questioned Hashem. Rashi says, now, hirharta al midotai, you question me. Lo ke Avraham, you weren't like Avraham. Lefichach, therefore, atatir'eh, now you'll see, ha'asui leparotir'eh, you'll see what I do to Paro. Lo ha'asui machishiv avamot kishavim la'ach, you won't see what I do to the seven nations over there. Hashem says, va'era el ha'avot, I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I didn't tell them my name. I didn't reveal myself fully. But you know something? They believed me. They didn't question me. Moshe, you questioned me. You blew it. The first thing we have to know is that the way Hashem works is He promises and then He does. And the first thing the promisee has to do, that's us, is to believe the promise. First you gotta believe. That doesn't mean I'm a Met fan. But you gotta believe. First you must believe. And when the person believes, when the people believe, when the community believes, Zehiye Siba Lavo Mizel Midata Kiyum. Says the Mashkiach, that will be the cause for it to come true. That's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because I believe it, it will happen. Hashem wants emunah and bitachon from us. And He tests us and makes it difficult. He makes things happen that make you question whether there's any control at all. Do you know how many people lost their faith because of a Holocaust? I told you about my good friend, Mrs. Fuchs from Avenue J. Mrs. Fuchs is a lady, in fact, I forgot to call her this week. Mrs. Fuchs is a lady, lives on Avenue J. I met Mrs. Fuchs and two of her friends one who has since passed away, I heard last week. 3 years ago, maybe four, maybe three, my mind is not like you guys, getting a little older. I was invited to speak in one of the hotels in the mountains. There was a girls' camp, NCSY, the OU Kiruv group. They invite girls to come for the summer, and 70, 80 girls, 100 girls, I don't know. Took up my daughters and my wife. They put us in a room, and I'm supposed to speak on Friday night. I'm supposed to speak on Saturday, whatever. There's a rule. Even though there's only a portion of the hotel, and we have a special program all our own, when they bring a guest speaker, you have to speak to the whole hotel. So I'm going to speak to this group of young girls. They tell me some are in high school, some are younger. And in the front row are these three ladies, 80, 90, and 100. Well, actually, one was 92. That was the older one. And the youngest one was 79. And next morning, Shabbat morning, we sit around the table for lunch. And these three ladies, who I didn't know the night before dinner because it was before I spoke, are sitting at the next table. And one of them says, "Are you the one who spoke last night?" I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "Well, you know, I have a question." "What's the question?" She says, "How come the people in the hotel don't sing," well, I'll say it her way, "Zmiris on Shabbos? How come they sat down to eat on a Friday evening and they didn't sing at the table?" I told her, "I don't know. Because I only have my table, but we didn't sing because I only brought my daughters and my girls don't sing in public. It's not Tzniut." And then she said, "But they shouldn't. You should tell them because you're the speaker. You know, once you're the speaker, you're the boss. You should tell them because you're the speaker that they should sing." And when she picked up her finger to instruct me what to do, I saw those numbers on her arm, which I suspected would be there anyhow because of the way she looked. So I told her, "Where are you from?" She says, "Brooklyn." I said, "No, where are you from?" She said, "Hungary." I said, "You lived through that time?" She said, "Yes, we did, all of us." She pointed to her two friends. So I immediately put the two tables together, which was a little embarrassing for my kids. Here's the speaker, the guy, moving tables in a public dining room together. And I sat them down, and we started a wonderful lunch together. And one of the questions I asked was, "After all you saw, how could you still be observant? How could you still be religious?" You know what her answer was? "After what we saw, it's impossible not to be religious. We saw God saving us every single day. Every single day, she saw Hashem. That's why the Chazon Ish says, when you meet a Holocaust survivor who's still observant, ask them for a beracha. Which I did for me and my daughters and my wife, and we let them give us blessings because they're special people. They saw what could drive people crazy. What they lived through is an insanity. Hard to believe, bad dream. And they come out with stronger faith than a person living in comfort who's given all they should want and need. The emunah is fantastic. How could I not be religious with what I saw?" That was her answer. "V'idatem ki ani Hashem." One of the three purposes declared by Hashem for the makot, for the plagues in Egypt, is so that you will know that I am Hashem. Says Sephorno, "Hakiru v'idboninu." Pay attention. Recognize. Shekoze yitamed kemo yidvidatem. It's going to become so clear to you from watching the Makot that I'm God. Hamashkiach alechem. I watch you, I protect you, bifrat, each and every one of you. En safek. And there's no doubt she'ese kol ma she'amarti, that I'm going to do all that I promised you. Ve'heveti etchem el ha'aretz, the pasuk continues, and if you pay attention and believe what I promised you, tiyu de'uyim, you'll be worthy she'aviyachem el ha'aretz, that I'll bring you into the land. Ve'etenena lachem, I'm going to give it to you. So notice what Tzifono is explaining from the Pesukim. Because you believe, you're going to be worthy to get the prize at the end of the rainbow, Eretz Yisrael. And what's the reaction of the people? Oh, what a mistake. Ve'lo shame'u el Moshe. They didn't listen to him. Lehitbonen bechol zeh, to pay attention and understand this. Be'inyan shivtichu b'shuat ta'el, to believe that he's coming and he's going to save them. And that he's going to count it for them as a merit, kitztaka. And therefore, watch this. If I ask you, why didn't the people in the desert go into Eretz Yisrael? Why did the whole generation die for 40 years? Any kid will answer you. Because when the spies came back and told them the story, they got afraid, they cried. And Hashem said, you're not going in. You're going to die here and your children are going to go. Says Sephorno here, in our parasha, before the mistake committed that night of Tisha B'Av when the spies came back, Vechen, Lo nitkayam bahem, did not happen to them. Vinatati ota lachem, I'm going to give the land to you. Aval nitena livnehem, their children went in. They didn't believe. They didn't go in. Little flaw in emunah. They didn't go in. It came about through the spies. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. But here, Sephorno's telling us, Lo Shame'u El Moshe, they didn't listen to him. They didn't believe him. You don't want to go. You're not going. Hashem accommodates them, so to speak. And in fact, they had an excuse. This is depressing. They had no breath, they had no patience, they had no strength. They were slaves. And were it not for the work, says Sephorno, they wouldn't listen to Moshe. But they couldn't. Sometimes a man comes home from work, he's exhausted from a rough day of pressure and all kinds of incidents in the office or the store or the warehouse, and just ain't got it anymore. And his wife wants to talk. And he says, honey, please not now. Later. Let me rest a little bit. Let me unwind. Then we'll talk. Sometimes you just can't listen. Could you imagine what they went through? With the descriptions of the servitude, psychological and physical suffering that Paro put them through, Sivlot Mitzrayim, they couldn't listen. But because they didn't listen, they didn't pay attention, and they didn't believe, even though it might have been justified, they didn't go in, their children went in. Why is that? Because the ways of Hashem, our Lord, the Blessed One, Ki lo yitachen le'adam lezakot b'shum davar. A person doesn't merit anything. Ki im achare habitachon b'kodem b'hamavtiach. First, you have to believe the one who promised. And this principle, we just spent 35 minutes to understand, applies to everything. First, the one to whom the promise is made has to have the faith in Hashem that he'll do what he promised. And only then will Hashem complete his promise and bring it to reality. You got that? That's step one. Rav Simcha Zissel, better known as the Saba Mikelm, says the key to the whole Geulah is in two words in the parasha. Vaya'amen ha'am. And the people believed. Everything else, he says, followed those two words. And he says, that principle is important to us. He's talking maybe the last 50 to 100 years. 75 years ago. 90 years ago. What is he saying? It's important to us because Geulat Mitzrayim Siman LeGeulah Atida. Because that Geulah is a sign to us, how is it going to work? So, I'm coming along to one basic idea. We're in a situation today where things seem very frustratingly impossible to unravel. If you ask the politicians, the longer the struggle goes on, the more they feel there's no solution. Is there a military solution? No, as long as people want to blow themselves up, another guy's going to blow himself up. Yes, people, I can't believe it. A guy wants to blow himself up. There's 3 billion people, they all want to blow themselves up, so how are you going to stop it? So build a wall. Wall's not going to work. They work in the hotel. That's your waiter. The guy lives around the corner. What, are you stop everybody from coming in? Okay, well, let's wipe them out. You can't wipe them out. You can't wipe out all that. It's genocide. What about this? And then you start talking. And the more you talk about it, yeah, but what about the Iraqis? What about the Syrians? What about the Lebanese? What about the this? What about the Egyptians? The tunnels, the thing, the bomb, the stuff. Now they're all over the world. Al-Qaeda, they're in London, they're in Paris, they're in Philippines, they're in India. Who knows where they are? Where are you going to stop these people? You want a political? There's nobody to talk to. If England goes to war with France, the president of England or whatever it is get together with the head of France and they make a peace treaty. We got nobody to talk to. It's frustrating. A bomb goes off, 7 different organizations claim responsibility. I don't know who to blame. Now you want to talk to them, make peace? It's crazy. Don't talk to Arafat. Oh, who do you want to talk to? The other guy. Who's the other guy? Is he the guy? I don't know. I don't know if he's the guy. It's a very frustrating situation. Should we listen to Sharon? Should we listen to Netanyahu? Should we listen to this one? Should we listen to that? Who knows? It looks like there's nothing we can do. But we could believe. If we open up the prophets, Hashem promised at the end of time, Ben David will come, there will be peace, lions with lambs and foxes with sheep, and all the goyim, they say even it's some explain as an allegory, will live in peace with the Yehudim. And on top of it, the Melech will be Melech Mashiach, the king of the world will be a Yehudi, and everybody will come to him to soak up the wisdom that he has to offer and to listen to him. And the world will run like it's supposed to run, according to the laws of the Torah, not man-made laws with flaws in it and constitutions and different types of values and alternate lifestyles and all the gaz that goes on in the world that people start to say is normal. Our avodah, our job is l'ha'amin. To believe in God and in his mitzvot. And we say it, Hem Hayenu Baruch Yamenu. It's our life, it's the length of our days. What happens if a man wants a loan? Guy wants a loan. And so what happens? The guy with the money wants a reference. I ain't just going to give you the money. I got to know. Who are you? Are you credit worthy? Can I afford to give you money? Can I expect it back? So we go and ask for a reference. And we ask his neighbor, and his neighbor says, sure, he's an honest guy. Every morning he wakes up, he tells me how you doing. I tell him how you doing. A nice guy. He lives next door. He's an honest guy. But if the guy who needs the loan goes to the neighbor for the loan, he ain't giving it to him. You can give it to him. I'll tell you he's a good guy. But for me to get it, no, I can give it to him. That's what Vayaaminu means. Vayaaminu means that he is trustworthy. And when it says Vayaaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe avdo, they trusted Hashem and Moshe his servant to the point where they would do anything. With all your heart and mind, with all your soul, with your life, and with all your money. That's the kind of faith we're expected to have. And it's supposed to take that form, and we say it in the morning, and we say it at night, and do we mean it? Or are we not listening, mikotzer ruach? Are we not listening because so much is going on in our brains? Do we trust the one who's promising enough to know he's going to do it? And are we trusting him enough as if it's a done deal? You know, there's a big question. When Abraham is told Yitzchak's going to be born, he laughs. When Sarah is told Yitzchak's going to be born, she laughs. Hashem comes and says, Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? As if he's angry. She left. How come there's no problem when Abraham left? Same thing happened. A couple of pesukim before. There's no complaint. The answer given by the books. Abraham's laugh was one of joy. Because as soon as Hashem told him, it was as if his lifelong dream of having a son to be the heir and the receiver of the Torah and the Jewish people. It's as if he was already born. Hashem said, fantastic. You know, sometimes a kid goes to his mother. Kids love to nag their mother. Ma, can we go to Toys R Us? Ma, can we go to Toys R Us? Ma, can we go to Toys R Us? She's nagging. Go ask your father. So the kid walks in his father. Danny, can we go to Toys R Us? Yes, Sunday. He comes in, happiest kid on earth. Mommy, Daddy said we're going to Toys R Us Sunday. As if he went already. Why? Because he trusts his father. And if Daddy says we're going Sunday, we're going Sunday. And if he tells me that's what's going to happen, thank you. If he tells me that's what's going to happen, it's as if it happened already. Do you believe Hashem's promises as if they happened already? Or you're worried about, can we ever solve these problems? Is Bush going to do it? Is Sharon going to do it? Is Arafat going to die from Alzheimer or something? Give him cancer and let him suffer a couple of years? Is that what's going to happen? What's going to save us? Yeah, you don't know. And if he dies, is the guy going to take over worse? You can't see an exit. You can't see the end of the tunnel because you don't believe. You don't really believe that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. Because if you did, you'd be disappointed that he didn't come today. Did you wake up in the morning today and say he's coming? And now it's 10 p.m. He didn't come yet. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where Mashiach is? You don't know where he is and you're not disappointed. How come? Because you don't believe it. If you believe something's going to happen, you're disappointed when it doesn't happen. That kid, if he doesn't go to Toys R Us Sunday, he's depressed. Kid needs purple, yellow, and blue different pills to get out of it. Because he thought his father said, we're going to Toys R Us. And he didn't go. He's disappointed. You ever go to like a major medical center like NYU or Mount Sinai? And you want to take a blood test because the doctor sends you downstairs. You know, give the insurance card. Da, da, da. How does it work? All you know, you see couches full of people sitting there. And there's six different doors or four different doors. And these people in the little different medical outfits, they come out with a piece of paper in their hand. Jones? Jones gets up, goes in, okay. And now you're looking at all the faces and you're saying, okay, who's here now? I want to know who I'm after. All these people are here ahead of me and you start looking at the faces. Now they start calling. And all of a sudden you look around and see, you know something? 80% of the people here when I got here are gone. I'm in the top 20 now because all these other people came after me. And now as it gets down to the precious few, there's four doors, you know when they're going to call your name. Every time they come out, you're thinking it's going to be me. They're going to say my name. Beta, Cassin, Smith, Jones, Babush, I don't care what it is. And you're sitting in the chair. And now when the lady comes out, she has a paper in her hand, she says, Mr. Bay, I get up. Kerr. Ugh. She said Baker. She didn't say Beta. I'm disappointed. You know, I thought she was going to call my name. Now, 15 minutes before, I wasn't even listening to the names. Because I didn't expect it. So I wasn't disappointed. But when I really think it's going to happen, it doesn't happen. I'm disappointed. Honestly ask yourself, are you disappointed Mashiach didn't come today? If you believe the one who promised can honestly do it, then when he doesn't do it, you're disappointed. When these people in Mitzrayim got dressed, put on their belt, put the stick in their hand, put on their shoes, sat down in the house, and started eating their Korban Pesach and said, this is it. And they didn't prepare anything. Hashem said he's taking care of us. I don't need a picnic basket. I don't need a meal mart. I need nothing. The food's kosher in the desert. Klot. Hashem's the caterer. Ba'avur avotenu shupat chubach. We say every morning, for this, in the sake of our forefathers who trusted in you, you gave us the Torah. You gave us the Torah because Bat Chubach. It was their unquestioning faith that earned us the Torah. And we sort of inherited it and said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Yeah, we're going to do. Whatever it is. And so now, we get to tonight's class. You can forget everything I told you. It's not tonight's class. I brought you here in the snowy night for a different reason. That's all good. I mean, it wasn't so bad, was it? The intro was okay? Good, okay. That was the intro. It says in the Pasuk, Ki goreshu mimitzrayim. They were chased out of Mitzrayim. Ve'lo yachelu lehitmameya. And they couldn't delay. Ve'gam seda lo asu lahem. And they didn't make any provisions. Says Rashi, as I said earlier, Magid Shivchan Shel Yisrael. It tells us the praise of the people of Israel. Shelo Amru, they didn't say,
Heach netze lamidbar belo tzedah. How are we going to go to the desert without food? Instead, he'eminu. They believed and they went. Hu shemefurash b'kabbalah. That's as it says in the pasuk. Zachati lach chesed neurayich. I remember for you on your sake the chesed of your youth. When you first became a nation. Ahavat klulotayich. The love you had as a bride. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. You came after me, says Hashem, in the desert. Be'eretz lo zeruah. I was in that desert. You ain't going there. Nothing but rolling hills of sand, rocky peaks, hills and pills and dry. And go out to Ammon and Moab. Go to the other side. Sinai Peninsula. God, there's nothing there. But the truth of the matter is, Hashem's praising them for this faith. Wait a minute. They have two choices. What's the first choice? Let's stay in Mitzrayim. Is that a choice? That's like you tell somebody, you want to stay in Auschwitz or you want to get out? Is that a choice, stay in Mitzrayim? So that's the first possibility. Second possibility, don't ask no questions. And believe Moshe and Aaron. They say we're going out. And so we'll follow them. What do we got to lose? It's Auschwitz or Moshe and Aaron. What do you pick? Not only that, this didn't happen overnight. How long were the Makot? Almost a year. 3 weeks break, 1 week Makah, 10 Makot, 10 months. Minimum. Each Makah, 7 days. Except Choshech was 6th and the 7th was by the sea. When it was dark that night, that was the 7th night of Choshech. That 1 year of preparation for this amazing faith to have Moshe and Aaron to follow him into the desert. Now, I once heard somebody tell me, if I saw miracles, I'd be religious. You want me to be religious? And I didn't see no miracles. You know what Choshech was? The first 3 days of Choshech was dark. So if a Yehudi was in a room, let's say we're in this room. Is it light in this room? Yeah, for us. But if a Mitzri was in the same room, an Egyptian was in the same room, for him it was dark. Hello, we're in the same room. Are the lights on or off? Well, for me the lights are on, for him the lights are off. Amazing, right? I know some friends, they go to clubs. For them the lights are off and the other guy's lights are on. But you know, I'm talking about regular people. Normal people with their heads on straight. But two people in a room, one is dark, one is light. Then what happens? The second 3 days, they can't move. Because darkness is not an absence of light. Darkness is a creation. And that creation was so thick that if an Egyptian was picking his nose, his finger stayed there for 3 days. And if he's scratching his ear, or he's standing, or sitting, or reaching, he couldn't move for 3 days. And in the same room, the Jew is going around taking inventory of all the good dresses, jewelry, money. That's so when he comes to Eich, he tells him, I don't have. He says, well, I have an inventory. I was here during the darkness, and I took it. But it's the same room. Is this darkness a thick, muddy, gooey kind of thing that makes you not move? Or is it nothing? Well, in the same room, for the Yehudi, there was light. They saw this. Now, I'm describing it to you. You can't even believe it. What's he talking about? Dark, you can't get up, you can't down. But the truth is, that's how it was. And if you were living there then, would you believe it? Well, what is there to believe? I see it. And Makat Bechorot. Firstborn, for Hashem to distinguish who's a firstborn, who's not a firstborn. They tried to sketch, they tried to run, they tried to do. Didn't work. From the Shifcha, from the one in the prison, to the king. Firstborn in the house dies. Jewish, nobody dies. It says on that night, the Jews who were supposed to die because their number was up, didn't die. Why? Because then they say, see, Jews died too. So not one Jew died. Is there anywhere there's 3 million people, nobody dies? The odds don't say that. But that night, nobody dies. They saw this. I got a better one for you. The Pasuk says, Vayakom Paro Laila. He got up in the night. Well, he was sleeping in the night. Of course he got up in the night. Ora Chaim HaKadosh says, no, you don't understand. That night of Makat Bechorot was not like in the movie. I hope you didn't see the movie, and if you didn't, don't watch it. Coming up again. April's almost here again. They love to show that movie in April. With the matzah commercials. In the movie, that night is dark and spooky, and the boo is going around from house to house, and the Egyptians screaming. Says Ora Chaim HaKadosh, who knows better. Vayakom Paro Laila. Look up the Pasuk. Look up Ora Chaim. He says, why does it say Laila? Why does it say night? Of course, if he's sleeping, it was night. It's Chatzot Laila. But Moshe told us it's going to be midnight. It's night. Why does the Pasuk tell us night? Because for Paro, it was dark. For the Yehudim, it was like high noon. Light. Hello, was it light or dark? I don't know. It was light for the Jews, it was dark for the Egyptians. They saw this. I'm describing it to you. You can't even believe me. But if you were there and you saw that, and then I tell you, hi, you can stay in Auschwitz or you can come with me to the desert. Don't worry about a thing. Well, so far, but by the way, if prophets were paid like football players, Moshe's contract would be a multi-year contract at $28 million a year. He's 100, batting 1,000. 10 times he said, Makkah's coming. 10 times it came. Whenever they wanted to stop, he said, okay, it'll stop. When do you want it to stop? 2:30 tomorrow? 2:30 tomorrow. Okay, stop 2:30 tomorrow. Everything he did was perfect. So now what is it for me, simple Jew in slavery, to follow him? And yet the Torah tells us, Zachati lach esed neurai, he was so great, you followed Moshe into the desert. What's the great thing? Got my question now? I know it took a while to get it to you. Got my question? Doesn't seem like there was a choice. Doesn't seem like what they did was so fantastic, and yet the Pasuk praises them. There's a Yisod. And this is why I brought you here in the snow tonight. So you'll understand this. Because a lot of people listen to these tapes. And a lot of people go to classes. And a lot of people like the entertainment value of the principles of our religion. Who knows how to work a computer here? You know how to work a computer? I remember the first time I touched a computer. I was so scared the whole thing's going to blow up. I'm going to press the wrong button. I'm going to erase everything. The company's going to go out of business. Because I'm going to touch a button. And then they said, this is how you work Excel. And this is how you work Word. And this is how you delete. And this is how you add. And this is how you cut and paste. And then all of a sudden, the next day, I called in the guy who taught me. And I said, I don't remember anything. He says, of course not, because you didn't do it. He says, the right way to learn how to do something is to do it. Could you imagine a little child wants to learn how to ride a bike? So the father gets a video. And he puts a video on and says, here's a video on how to ride a bike. And after that, he tells the kid, here, take your bike and go ride. Can't ride. Why not? Because you didn't practice. You learn how to do it and practice. You can't build something, make something work, design something, perform a skill. Everything you know about it, you could study the whole encyclopedia on the subject. Till you do it, you don't know nothing. Till you do it, till you practice, you don't know anything. And that's how it works
in Ruchaniyut. The spiritual works the same. When the Jewish people went through Yam Suf, it says, Ra'ata Shifcha Alayam. A maidservant saw at the sea what Yechezkel ben Buzi, the great prophet who saw behind the heavens Hashem's throne with the angels performing Kadosh, 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 the way they serve him in heaven. And the maidservant by the sea had a clearer picture of what Hashem is than Yechezkel ben Buzi. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out something unbelievable about that statement of Chazal. Ra'ata Shivcha, the maidservant saw more clearly than the greatest prophet. But she was still a maidservant. Even after she saw, the Pasuk says, Shivcha, the maidservant. She saw, it was fantastic, it was better than IMAX in 3D, it was unbelievable. Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Star Trek 94. Is it not up to 94 yet? All in one. And she saw it. But seeing it doesn't change you. Not one bit. She's still a shifcha. You gotta do to change. You have to practice. To develop. Kol ha'emuna ha'gedola she'ra'u enehem be'et ha'yotam b'mitzrayim. All that they saw to build up faith and believe in God in Mitzrayim was only to get them to the first step. The whole year, all the makot, all the miracles, to get them to the point where they could stand up and say, Moshe, we're going to follow you. And when they took that first step, they earned the zichut to take another step, and another step, until Hashem gave them the Torah. Everything you see, so now you don't need a miracle. Because the miracle ain't going to work for you. People saw miracles in the Holocaust. And they became heretics and non-believers. I can't question them. Thank God I never saw anything like that. But the lady I told you about saw the same thing. And she became more religious. And more stubborn to keep what Hashem said. With more belief that He's in charge. I saw Him every day. We think by learning, by reading, by meditating, by doing yoga, I don't know what, by sullying, by reading Tehillim, by davening, whatever we want, we can do that and we will develop into spiritual giants. Wrong. You gotta do. And I got news for you. The one who knows and doesn't do is worse than the one who doesn't know. Because it says that they were in the 49th level of tum'ah, of impurity. And if Hashem had not taken him out at that moment, they would have gone to 50. 50 levels of spiritual impurity from which no one can escape. Hello, where were you the last hour? They just spent a year watching miracles. Blood and water and frogs and lice and animals and everything. And they saw the Hashgacha of Hashem as clearly as anybody could see it. And now you're telling me if they don't get out now, they're going to go to, one more second, they can go to the 50th level? Because you see, a person who's dirty, let's say somebody's playing outside, and they get all dirty, playing in the dirt and the mud and the sand, having fun. And then they see a waterfall. They go, boy, if we go under the waterfall and go swimming over there and go under the waterfall, we'll be clean again. Let's go over there and play in the water and clean off. And the other one says, I don't feel like getting wet. I'll look at it. And I'll imagine what the water can do. Because I believe water can make me clean. And that's all I need is the water to make me clean. And I really believe it. And that person doesn't go in the water. Hello, is that person clean? Same mess they were before. Because you got to do. You got to use what you learn. You have to take what you believe in and put it into practice. And that's why Hashem gave us the Torah. Because seeing miracles, believing that it's true, understanding in the depths of our minds that it's really the way it is, it's not enough. We have to do the Torah and the mitzvot. If it says put a mezuzah on the door, you got to put a mezuzah on the door. If it says you got to eat matzah, you got to eat matzah. And if that's how you remember Yitziat Mitzrayim, all the study of Yitziat Mitzrayim will not change you. Like putting a mezuzah on the door, or wearing tefillin, or eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan. Because that doing is going to take you to the next level. That practicing is going to teach you how to ride a bike. Watching the video won't work. So my friends, very often in these classes, I suggest things for people to do. And everybody enjoys the class. And walks out that door, goes into the lobby and goes back to normal. Normal meaning abnormal. The way we are. Spiritual midgets. Spiritual cripples. Who don't know how to be spiritual. Who don't know how to subjugate our minds and our body and our money and our lives. B'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. Hashem, I'm waiting for my name to be called. And you didn't call it today and I'm disappointed. And he says, what'd you do about it? Oh, I believe it. What'd you do about it? Did you get dressed and put on your belt and your shoes and your coat with your e-ticket in hand, ready to go? Through keeping the Torah and the mitzvot and all the things he told us we have to do, to be zocher for the coming of Mashiach tomorrow. Is it possible? Yes. Do we believe it? I hope so. And if we do our mitzvot like we really believe it's the only way, Hashem will. That will be the sibah, as we said earlier, for the coming. The fact that we believe it and we're showing it through our actions. That we're doing it the way we're supposed to. And that will end all the bad news and all the suffering and all the frustration. Very simply, like God.